Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Yeah.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys. Hey, I'm so glad to be back. Welcome, everybody, to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I know that it has been a while. I needed a little bit of time off. I took some time off because I was really busy with a job that's actually pretty much paying the bills for me. And then I just wanted to hang out, kind of decompress from a really, really long year. I'm going to try to do as many shows as I can. I wanted to get back to how it was when I first started the Tuttle Daily Podcast. So when I was doing it every single day, I was also doing it on the weekends. And during the break, I actually said, I was like, all right, coming up in the new year, every single day of 2023, I'm going to do a podcast. And then I realized that January 1st, 2023 was on a Sunday. And I was like, oh, fuck. I've already ruined it. I have already ruined my promise to the people that listen to this show on a regular basis. And if you're just catching up, I'm completely shocked by the amount of people that I have in the chat and people that are viewing right now, because it's been a couple of weeks. That was the longest period of time that I ever went through that I wasn't doing the podcast on a regular basis. But I would like to catch up with you guys because I really do want to make this podcast user-friendly. I want to super serve the people that are checking out the show and the content that I'm putting out. If you want to call in, you can do that 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. I already got some people in the chat room. Alan Boland says, Happy New Year, Tuttle. And Nedley Mandingo, Happy New Year. So, I really did not have that much of an exciting vacation, holiday vacation. I did a lot of stuff just trying to catch up. I had to use my you know what? That's the first time in a while that I have ever worked a job where they told me, oh, hey, by the way, if you don't use your vacation days by the end of the year, you're going to lose them. I've never had that. Never had that before where I had to use up vacation days or I was going to lose them and stuff. So I took that time off. Oh, what up, Bubba Light? Bubba Light, what's up, Tuttle? Happy New Year. Scooter 385, yo, 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 Robert Williams. What's the new day job? Happy New Year, by the way. And Jason Martin, Happy New Year, Tuttle. Hope you and Bubba can get together for another podcast. And I'm going to talk about that. I recorded a podcast with Bubba the Love Sponge last Monday, and I loved it. But I'm not gonna get into that yet. Not gonna get into that yet. I will. But so I spent a lot of time here doing home improvement stuff around the house. You know, kind of cleaning up around here, The cold weather, man. And I know a lot of you guys are all going to make fun of me and stuff, but I got to tell you, it was cold for Florida. To have three straight nights of below freezing temperatures, that is cold for Florida. It is. And it did kill a lot of the stuff here in Florida. I mean, my grass looks like crap. All the stuff that I plant, it's all dead. It's dead because Florida, we're a bunch of pussies when it comes to the cold weather down here. So that ended up happening. And then now we're above normal temperatures right now in the mid 80s right now. So that happened. One of the things that shocked me the most, Colton ended up coming up over and hanging out with me Wednesday night, Thursday night, left Friday. On Christmas Day, when it was freezing, he thought it would be a good idea to go on a tour of Florida on his Harley. So he goes down, hangs out with some people down in Fort Myers, then cuts across, hangs down in Fort Lauderdale for 2 days, and then comes up, hangs out with me Wednesday and Thursday. And I just was like, dude, do you realize how cold it is and you're out riding on a bike? I mean, When he did pull up here, it was a little bit warmer, but you would not believe all the leather and just insulation that he had brought with him. And it just, I'm horrible on two wheels. So maybe that's why I just think riding on a motorcycle is just absolutely miserable in my eyes. Like straight up hell on earth. But he did. He drove it all the way down to South Florida, cut across, and came all the way back up and got to hang out with him. We went to De Leon Springs. We were going to go to the pancake place, the old Spanish sugar mill. And that place was just, you couldn't even get a spot in there. And they don't take reservations. They only take reservations for 20 or more people. And I'm just like, who the fuck, who is coming in with 20 plus? Who is rolling, are big time rappers and everything showing up to De Leon Springs, Florida to go to the old Spanish sugar mill to do the pancake breakfast, hibachi style, where you got to cook it yourself? No, it's not happening. So we couldn't get in there. We ended up hanging out. It was a good time, but I wanted to get into doing the podcast. I last Monday I recorded a podcast with Bubba Love Sponge. I first started working with Bubba at the beginning of 2010. And I think that I have been on and off the show probably six times. But I did the podcast with Bubba last Monday. And I thought that it was going to be a stream. I thought it was going to be on Twitch or YouTube, but it wasn't. It was just me and him sitting in the BRN studios, no cameras, and I kind of like that. I kind of like that when me and Bubba were talking, I couldn't see him, he couldn't see me, we weren't on a live stream, we were just recording, and there was nobody else in the studio. There was nobody else in the building. And it was great. I It was not the funniest. It was not the most comical show that or podcast that Bubba's ever done, but it was just being real. I was able to talk about my time in the mental institution. I talked about everything before that, everything after that. I've been going to therapy. I talked a little bit about some of the stuff that I went through when I was younger and everything. And I had no intentions to actually talking about that, but in my opinion, that's why I thought that whole thing was just real. It was a great conversation. I didn't have to worry about anybody else jumping in or interrupting or trying to make a joke or just goof it up and stuff. Me and Bubba were just having a conversation. And I can't tell you the last time. I don't ever think that I've ever done any content one-on-one with Bubba. I mean, now I'm thinking about it. I don't think that I have ever had a chance to be in the studio one-on-one with Bubba and do a show. And I think that it came out brilliantly. And I really can't thank. I don't know why I'm saying thank. I can't thank people enough for all the kind words and all the stuff that people have said. I've gotten emails, I've gotten DMs, I've gotten just comments on posts on Facebook or Reddit or whatever it may be. And everybody loved it. Not one. See, that is what, and I'm not complaining. But that kind of freaks me out that not one person had a bad thing to say about the podcast that I recorded with Bubba. Not one single person. I've gotten no negative feedback from a single person from that show that I did with him. And that is really, really rare because everybody can find something negative. They just can't. Also, I don't know if Bubba Light or whoever is going to be going to the Bubba Army royalty party. I will be there. I got invited last week to be able to go to the Bubba Army royalty party. And guys, I did get this. I saw the rings. I saw the rings in person. I got to pit one on. And I will say I'm a little jealous because it was just bad timing. I never got to get one of the rings. If you remember that one year, and I still have the ring, I got to go find it. Bubba gave me one of those like really, really cheap rings. He gave one to me and gave one to Trace, and I think he gave one to Colton as well, too. And I still have it. And Bubba said, if you're still around in a year, which I wasn't around. I still have the ring, but I wasn't able, because Bubba said if we turned it in, we would get a real Bubba Army royalty ring. I didn't make it to that point, but I still have it. But I did get invited to the party, and I'm going to it. I'm really excited. I am. And me and Bubba got to talk after we got done recording. And I see, that's the thing. Because I've gotten so many chances with Bubba. I have. I've gotten tons of them. And a lot of people think, oh, Tuttle smoke and mirrors, da-da-da-da-da, He's still up to his own or his old behavior and everything. Now, I mean, I get why people would think that. But me and Bubba, we spent quite a bit of time after the show talking. And there are some things we've talked about. And I'm probably not going to go into detail about those. But there are some good things. There are some real promising things that might bring me back. Might bring me back on a part-time basis or maybe for special occasions, but I still got to make up and mend the bridges that I burned. I pretty much have mended all those bridges. I still have it. I mean, there's one that I really don't care about mending, and I don't think he cares about it either, so I'm not even going to really, really worry about it, and that's Mike Calta. You know, I don't blame Calta. Why would he want to mend a bridge with me? So I'm not even going to try. I made up with Russ Rollins. I made up with everybody. I mean, Jason Martin, he says, get right with Burke. And that's what I'm getting to. And I want to, and I discussed that with Bubba to fix everything that I burned. I eviscerated. I completely nuked it with Shane Reeves and Shannon Burke. They both hate me. I'm not saying that it's not unwarranted, but I'm going to try to fix it. And Bubba's gonna help me out with that. But if you guys want, if you have not listened to the podcast that I recorded with Bubba the Love Sponge, you can easily find it on iTunes or any of the major podcasting platforms. Just search the Bubba Army Podcast. So I'm going to get to some of these comments. Nelly Mandingo, one-on-one was very interesting. I agree with you, man. Like, I was thinking about that when I was just talking about it. And I was like, I don't think that I've ever recorded anything with Bubba that was one-on-one that nobody else was in there. Nelly Mandingo, I was thinking about that when I got invited to the party. What if Lummy gets revenge with the G-Water? A lot of people probably don't even know about that story, but at one of the parties, Lummy was going through a lot of things. I probably should not have done it, but I snuck him a little bit of, you know, GHB in his drink. Because Lummy was really, really stressed at that time. And I just thought that maybe it would do him good to kind of just cut loose a little bit. I maybe got off on my calculations on how much I... Look, Lummy is a big-ass dude, okay? So maybe I went a little bit overboard and whatever I was putting in his drink. And see, I also don't want to incriminate myself if... Well, statute of limitations. And this is all parody, by the way. It is. So, this is all just jokes. So, yeah, but also at the same time, Nelly, I don't drink anymore, and I'm going to have a bottle of water that I'll keep with me at all times. Jason Martin, go to the party and be social, man. I'm going to. Fish on J, yo, happy new year, Tuttle Army. All right, well, pass a cold one, hopefully to replace Anna. I think Anna is doing quite well, so I have nothing bad to say about Anna. T-Bone says, what's up, Tuttle? Hey, Tuttle. Jason Martin, Tuttle Talk after the main show, of course. Most of them, you were buzzed up. Yeah. So, what I'm trying to say is that I don't want anybody, and I'm not trying to make myself look like a bigger man than what I'm actually think I am. I know that doesn't make any fucking sense, but what I'm trying to say is that doing the podcast with Bubba, it was great. He seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to be proud of and impressed with all the changes that I've made in my life. I mean, the therapy has been helping me out tremendously. It really, really has. And I also think that the podcast that me and Bubba, I think Bubba kind of opened up a little bit as well, too. So, I think it was a win-win. And thanks to Colton, see, because that was the other thing. You know how I had mentioned earlier how Colton went down to Fort Myers? That was on Sunday. Sunday night, Christmas Day, I ended up staying at Colton's parents' house while he was away. It was cold. It was so cold in that garage. Holy crap. But I ended up going in, recorded the show with Bubba. And it was completely, completely all worth it. And once again, if you want to catch that podcast, you can easily do that. It's on all podcasting platforms. Just search The Bubba Army Podcast. I want to get into some news stories. This is actually a really, really interesting one. And I really do not think, because I've always had this no help policy. Just you don't get involved. You don't get involved when you have family. You don't get involved when you have kids or people that depend on you. And especially if you are a backup quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Blaine Gabbert. I mean, you know that you're not getting any playing time unless Brady gets hurt, but you gotta be ready to go, man. And you're out here trying to rescue people in a helicopter. You know what they always say about people that are drowning? That you swim out there to help them, and guess what they're going to do? They are just going to pull you under.
A helicopter just crashed into the ocean. It just sunk. It looks like there's like maybe 3 or 4 people floating in the water.
A dramatic water rescue after a helicopter crashed off the coast.
By the way, I think helicopters are nothing but death traps. I really do think you got a better chance surviving a plane crash than you do a helicopter crash. And by the way, this family, or this group of people, were on a tour of Tampa from a helicopter. You know what? You are trusting somebody from Hillsborough County that has the bare minimum when it comes to a license. And I'm not saying that this guy in particular, but the whole stigma of people in Hillsborough County, you're like, oh man, I'm going up in a helicopter. This helicopter is homemade. It must be safe. Well, no, I'm not getting on a helicopter in Hillsborough County and letting them fly me around. This is what happened. This is what happens. And then the backup quarterback of Tom Brady has to come out and save your ass.
So Florida.
We got one passenger on board, 451, to the boat ramp on the 7 channel side. The other occupants are on the jet skis.
Tampa police pulling the pilot to safety. The other 3 people on board saved by a good Samaritan.
I'm going to take them right to the beach. I'm on 2 Yamaha jet skis.
That helpful stranger, none other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backup quarterback.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, we've all heard of Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I don't know a lot about Blaine Gabbert, but he's a household name. If any of you guys in the chat room know, I'm almost sure he was a starting quarterback. And he's out on the jet skis, out in Tampa. And that's the other thing. That's a hell of a life. While the rest of the country is freezing their asses off, you're a backup quarterback making a mil and a half. All you got to do is show up to practice, work with the second team. No pressure. No pressure at all. Vulture, my producer Vulture says, started for the Jags a bit. So what I'm trying to say, what kind of life? I mean, that's a hell of a life, man. I know that everybody wants all the accolades. They want the trophies. They all want to be the GOAT. Sign me up. I want to be where Blaine Gabbert is. Getting paid $1 million, $1.5 million, maybe even a couple of million a year. And you just, like I said, you just have to throw footballs to second stringers. I mean, set up the defense, number one defense. And then the rest of the time, you're out riding around on jet skis in Tampa Bay, riding around St. Pete, whatever it may be, Clearwater. And then all of a sudden, a helicopter crash happens, and you and your bros, your real brother, go out and save the lives of some dumbasses that thought it'd be a great idea to trust some hill jack in Hillsborough County that owns a helicopter and wanted to give a tour. I mean, now you're a hero. I don't know if you're married or not, Blaine. But Blaine, right now, you're a hot commodity in the Tampa St. Pete area. Hell, you know what? You might get to, like, hit the button to fire off the Tesla coils at the Tampa Bay Lightning game. I mean, right now, you might be a little bit more of a hot commodity than Tom Brady. Let's be honest. Bucks are going to get into the play. Well, they are into the playoffs with a losing record. I mean, you could be the future of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Blaine. I think this is some great promotion, and I think you need to strike the iron while it's hot. I mean, there's been other professional athletes that have stopped and helped other people out. I mean, you guys all know, like I said earlier. Vulture says Trask is better, and I would agree with you. Trask being a lifelong Florida Gator, University of Florida fan, yeah, I would go with Trask as well too. But Trask isn't saving four or five people out of a helicopter. I mean, it would have been great if Trask would have been the one to save him, but unfortunately, it didn't happen. Trask doesn't seem like the type of guy that's out with his bros on jet skis. But Gabbert, he's set up. He really, really is.
Quarterback Blaine Gabbert.
It was pretty remarkable, and we got him. I got two on my jet ski. My brother's got one. The pilot was still in the water.
Gabbert says he was jet skiing with his brothers when he heard a noise and went to check it out.
I'm not getting involved. I mean, I'm guaranteed a couple mil a year. I'm not going to try to save somebody and And I know a lot of you guys are going to call me a pussy and stuff, but no. Sorry. This is not what I get paid for. I get paid to throw a football, not to be search and rescue.
Found was a downed helicopter submerged near the Davis Islands with four people thrown overboard.
It almost looked like a crew boat in the water that had broken up in about four pieces. The youngest kid had just came up and said he was pinned in there.
That passenger was 28-year-old Hunter Hupp.
We were trapped under so much stuff, and I had so many cables and wires and headsets and seatbelts all around me.
Yep. Sounds like a Hillsborough helicopter tour.
Was underwater for nearly a minute, Hupp says, and wasn't sure he'd survive.
Yo, I'm pretty astounded that I am standing here to talk to you.
Hupp and his parents were on a sightseeing tour of Tampa Bay.
I mean, all right, come on. All right, I'm not saying anything bad about Tampa Bay, but what are you seeing on a helicopter tour around Tampa Bay? I mean, they got a decent skyline. Were you gonna go down to the industrial side, show people all that area? Are you gonna go to where all the cruise ships are? I could see you going to these Sunshine Skyway Bridge, St. Pete, Clearwater Beach. But what is there to see around the Tampa Bay area? If you go north in Hillsborough, you go far enough north, you're going to be in Pasco. What is there to see? How does this helicopter company business even stay in business? There really isn't much to see.
Thursday, when authorities say their chopper's engine failed.
We heard a loud pop from the top. I was in the front. I asked the pilot if we just hit something. He goes, no, but this isn't really good.
Can you imagine if you're in Central Florida, you're a tourist, you're like, all right, let's go on a helicopter ride. And you hear a big pop, and the guy was like, nope, that ain't really good, man. Ain't good at all.
The pilot made an emergency landing, crashing as onlookers watched in disbelief.
It was crazy. It was insane, but I'm just happy they got out.
I mean, I'll document everything from the beach. Not swimming out there. Not taking my jet ski. Guess what? If I don't go out there and help them, there's no chance of me dying. I'm Blaine Gabbert.
All four passengers escaped uninjured, thanks in part to Gabbert and his brothers jumping into action.
I was just trying to do the right thing, help them out. Clearly they were in need, and you know, I'm happy they all made it out alive.
Priscilla Thompson, NBC News.
So that ended up happening. Blaine Gabbert, he's a hero. Something that I brought up month and a half ago. They actually, since I've last been on the show when I did the podcast, they finally caught a suspect. Now, who knows exactly if this guy had anything to do with the murder of these four college students up in Idaho. I know this isn't like a glamorous story to talk about, but I mean, this came out of nowhere. They gave us no information. So either the cops were playing this by the book and being tight-lipped as hell and not giving us any information, because everybody thought that this case was going cold because they had nothing. Nothing at all, and they weren't giving us anything.
Sigh of relief for a community on edge, 48 days after the gruesome murders of four University of Idaho students.
We have an individual in custody who committed these horrible crimes.
28-year-old Brian Kohlberger was taken into custody.
So, this really, really reminds me a lot of some of the prolific serial killers that we've seen, especially Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy, he went on these rage killings, went into a sorority in Tallahassee and killed like four or five at that time. And I've talked about this quite a bit of time here on this show. But the only way that you can commit a perfect murder is for you to kill somebody that you have never, ever met in your life. Nobody you have ever had a single bit of contact with, digitally, physically, whatever it may be. Because if you know that person or have had any interaction, you're always going to be a suspect. You are. Nedley Mandingo says, how did they get killed? What method? Well, everybody is saying a stabbing. And the other weird thing about this whole ordeal is that there were four people that were killed in the house, but two of them were not killed. They weren't killed. They kind of like slept through the whole thing. From what I've gotten, that they've slept through the whole thing. And I don't know how. They're all saying that this killer killed the people in their sleep. But you can't tell me that this guy, I forget what they called him, what his name was. You're telling me that he killed four people without waking up the other two. That is the other weird thing about this whole story. And it gets, right now they have no motive, they have no connection, and they don't have a murder weapon.
Friday morning in Monroe County, Pennsylvania, charged with four counts of first-degree murder. Drone video shows police at the suspect's home Friday, where the biggest public clue in the case so far, a white Hyundai Elantra, was...
Now, see, this is something that they've been looking for quite some time, this white Elantra. So, they had already, arrested somebody that they cleared that was driving a car just like this. And so they got this guy, and everybody's just like, where did this come from? There really is no connection.
It's also removed, police say. The arrest comes the same day crews started cleaning out the 6-bedroom rental home where Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Ethan Chapin, and Zaina Carnotal were found murdered November 3rd.
So, if you don't know what they're talking about, whoever owns this place, because it was an apartment, they own this place, but now these people are dead. They were murdered in this place, and you got to get it cleaned up because you're losing money right now. And I don't know, I don't know if that's something that I've heard in the movies and stuff. But do you really, really have to notify or let people know that somebody was murdered in a home if you sell it or you're renting an apartment? Because what these people are doing is that they're going in and they're cleaning up all the biohazardous material, all the smells, all it just everything. They're just getting rid of it. They're getting rid of it. We, on the Monsters, every year we would do this roadkill challenge where somebody off the show and a couple of the other interns, we would have to go pick up roadkill, but listeners would help us. And then this one year, this lady, her job was cleaning up biohazardous material from people that have committed suicide or murders or accidents and homes. She would have to go in there and clean it up. It was the perfect person to be able to have when you're trying to go and pick up roadkill, because you drive around in your truck, pick up any roadkill, and then by the end of the show, we would have to weigh all of it. And the winner that had the most roadkill would win like $500. I remember I found a deer that was hit on the side of the road that I threw in the back of the truck. And I won it one year with that dead deer. I ended up having to fight some vultures off of it, but I ended up winning. But I talked to this lady, and she just said, man, it is traumatizing to go into some of these homes where people have been murdered or have committed suicide. It's pretty traumatizing from what she said. And the smell. That was the other thing. I didn't realize that things can get so smelly and repulsive that it can sink into the inside of your nostrils. Like, it gets embedded in there and it doesn't go away for like weeks. They wore a lot of masks and stuff. They would do the Vicks vapor rub under the nose and stuff, but man, oh man, what a job.
13th, autopsy showed all four were likely asleep when they were attacked. Some had defensive wounds. Two other roommates home at the time of the slayings were never hurt. Police.
That is what I do not get. Unless this guy was a straight up cold blood. I mean, well, he is a cold blooded killer. But for you to kill four people and not wake up the other two, that is something that just makes this whole story really, really strange.
Say they were not involved. This case has drawn national attention from internet sleuths who speculated about the potential suspects and motives, leading police to over 19,000 tips while dispelling unfounded rumors. Police vowing this case.
And that is the other thing. A lot of people don't realize that there is this whole subculture on social media and Reddit where they all see these stories that end up happening and they do their own research and then they call in to these tip lines where they give out their theories and where they should be looking, or have you looked into this, or have you looked into that? I can see where that is a little bit of a problem for law enforcement, but at the same time, I mean, don't you really have to take every single tip or call or theory that you get seriously? I mean, I've seen a lot of stories where these internet sleuths have been right on the money and actually have helped out law enforcement officers in breaking a case.
Would not go cold.
These murders have shaken our community, and no arrest will ever bring back these young students. However, we do believe justice will be found through the criminal process.
Kohlberger is listed as a PhD student in the Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology at Washington State University.
See, right there. This guy knew what he was, well, obviously, if he is the guy. See, but has anybody else thought that this guy is, he studied criminology? He knows what law enforcement needs for him to be prosecuted and found guilty of quadruple homicide. And they still don't have the murder weapon. What if this guy wanted to get caught? What if this guy wanted to get caught because he obviously is going for a degree in criminology? What if this is his whole thing? He was studying and learning how to not get caught. How to get caught, because I think he might be one of these people that wants the recognition. He wants the trial. He wants the media frenzy. But he was just good enough where he won't be able to be found guilty. Let's not think that statement that I made is too far-fetched.
Investigators also revealed they have not found the murder weapon.
Provide any
I mean, Look, do you realize all the evidence? I covered the Casey Anthony trial for Bubble Up Sponge, and we actually talked about that on the podcast. Everybody thought that Casey Anthony was guilty, guilty, guilty. And she probably was. I mean, once again, talked about earlier story, Hillsborough County. You guys all realize that every jury member on the Casey Anthony trial was from the Tampa area. But they, I mean, if you have any doubt at all as a juror, that is your instructions. You can find somebody guilty, and maybe this is the case, because I'm telling you, if they don't have a murder weapon or any motive, they don't even have motive.
Details in this criminal investigation might have tainted the upcoming criminal prosecution or alerted the suspect of our progress.
Now, one of the missing pieces to the puzzle, a motive.
I mean, he is pretty creepy, though. Right? I mean, we can all say, looking at this guy, maybe it's because of what they got him dressed in. But yeah, he looks like somebody that could have killed four people.
As investigators connect the dots. Kohlberger is expected to be back in court on Tuesday if he fights extradition. Investigators tell me it could be several weeks, if not months, before he is brought back to Idaho.
All right, guys. Well, I'm definitely going to keep at this. I promise you. Told everybody when I sent out that social media post, I'm going to try to do a show every single day. Now, I can't be for sure that something's not going to pop up. But the whole stipulation is I'm going to try to do a show every single day. 20 minutes or more. For it to be an official podcast, I got to do 20 minutes or more. And I'm going to do the shows. When I get done with this show, I'm going to upload the audio to the iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, all of those. And then you'll be able to find this. Yeah, I mean, this video is on demand. And if you're listening to the audio podcast right now and you want to catch the live stream, you can easily do that. It's every night, 7 p.m. Go to youtube.com/Tuttle or twitch.tv/Tuttle on the radio. I also stream it on Facebook, facebook.com/Tuttle or twitter.com/Tuttle. You can find it on all of those platforms. So I'm going to get out of here, guys. I want to thank everybody that checked out tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.